The scripture reading for this morning is found and printed and displayed up on the screen or in your pew Bible. The book of Daniel, there are two sections, chapter 9, verses 7 to 11, and also chapter 9, verses 17 to 23. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us, because of our unfaithfulness to you. We, our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the law, our God, or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgment written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. Verses 17 to 23. This is still on Daniel chapter 9. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy, Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, our God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Martin. I cried when I watched on the news the Twin Towers in New York came down on September 11th, 2001. Even though I have never been to New York, it broke my heart seeing human beings suffer. For the last 3 months, the unrest happened in Hong Kong. Not only broke my heart, but kept me up at night. I cry, I pray, and pray, and pray more. God is good to me. As I was preparing the message, God comforted me. And this passage actually assigned to me 3 months ago. So this is a timely message, and God knows the timing, and he is good. The text today is from Daniel chapter 9. Daniel and his three friends from Jerusalem were faithful to God. All four were exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem at around 605 BC. Daniel was about 15 years old when that happened. Away from his homeland apart from his family. We admire Daniel's faith to God of Israel in a foreign land in which people worshiped many gods. Daniel's wisdom from above had no rivalry in Babylon. Not until this summer, as I was reading the chronological Bible, I was reading the downfall of the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah. The prophet Jeremiah and Ezekiel warned the people of Judah again and again, and the Israelites refused to listen. Jeremiah remained in Jerusalem, telling the message from God to the people in Jerusalem. The prophet Ezekiel, called among the exile, to say the same words from God to the exiled in Babylon. In 722 BC, the northern kingdom, Israel, was taken by Assyria. More than 100 years had passed. The southern kingdom did not learn the lesson from the fall of the northern kingdom and remained unfaithful to God. Therefore, God used the hands of Babylon to attack Judah to catch their attention in the hope of them turning back to God. Unfortunately, the people of Judah did not repent. The last chapter of Jeremiah recorded this. Judah went into captivity, away from her land. This is the number of people Nebuchadnezzar in the seventh year, which is 605 BC, 3,023 Jews. Daniel and his three friends were among them. In Nebuchadnezzar's 18th year, which is 592 BC, 832 people from Jerusalem. In his 23rd year, which is 887 BC, 745 Jews taken into exile by Nebuzaradan, the commander of the imperial guard. In 886 BC, the southern kingdom, Judah, fell. Jerusalem was burned down. There were altogether 4,600 people in all. Daniel experienced the turmoil of Jerusalem for 20 years, from the time of his exile to the fall of his homeland far away in Babylon. For the last 3 months, the unrest, the violence in Hong Kong, my homeland, kept me up at night. I felt the agony of Daniel at a deeper level. I cried and prayed. I came to Canada by my own choice. But Daniel was forced to go to a land of his enemy and served its king. His people would call him traitor. I can see Daniel as a person, like myself, with feelings. Not a historical figure, perhaps a hero on paper. The people in Hong Kong are deeply divided and deeply hurt. My nephew disowned his own mother and all his aunts and uncles, including myself. Broken relationships within families, workplaces, almost in every level of the whole society in Hong Kong. I am deeply saddened. I am far away from my homeland, and so was Daniel. His homeland was in chaos. Should they rebel against Babylon and allied with Egypt or Assyria? Jeremiah got the message from God, telling them to surrender to Babylon, but no one listened. I feel for Daniel. How did he do it? In Daniel chapter 9, the prayer Daniel prayed revealed his heart. Another 47 years passed. Babylon had fallen. Daniel was 82 years old. Daniel remembered what God promised to his people through the prophet Jeremiah. This is how chapter 9 began. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Daniel read the scripture and prayed. The prayer of Daniel revealed his relationship with God. We can all learn from his prayer. Daniel pleased to God by affirming who God is and what he did. In verse 4, he says, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and all the people of the land. Daniel knew the reason for the downfall of Jerusalem. He never blamed anyone but confessed sin for his people. He continues saying, Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. Then he remembered the covenant God established with his people through Moses. In verse 11 says, therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. Daniel knew that it was his people who did not keep the covenant. God was doing what he said he would do. Daniel continued reminding God what he did, saying, now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for himself yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. Daniel pleads to God for who God is. Because, Lord, in keeping with all your righteousness act, turn away from your anger, he says, and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. We can feel Daniel's agony in this part as he continued, maybe he is crying. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Isn't it how we pray when we are in trouble? Daniel was a righteous man. However, he confessed a sin for his people. Do we confess our sin for our nation, our church, our world? We can all learn from Daniel. As we read on, amazingly, God answered Daniel's prayer right away. Verse 20 says, "While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, 'Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed.'" Let me reread this. "As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed." Daniel is highly esteemed. By who? God himself. Wow, isn't it not a relationship you and I long to have with God? It is for me. Then Gabriel revealed the plan of God for his people. "Therefore consider the word and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place." And in verse 26, it says, "After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing." It is a tough one to understand, but we are sure of the six things mentioned: to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, which means the vision and prophecy will be fulfilled, and to anoint the most holy place. And in verse 26, the seventh thing is that the anointed one will be put to death. Most scholars believe the anointed one meant the Messiah. We can use Jeremiah's message of hope to enlighten us. In Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34 reads, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." What about the message from Ezekiel to the exile? "Then I will sprinkle clean water on them, and you will be cleaned. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." That's from Ezekiel chapter 36. Daniel, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah did not live to see the prophecy come to pass, but they believe. Today, we are blessed to see the partial fulfillment of the vision until the second coming of Jesus, and the vision will be fulfilled. We are in the new covenant with God now. Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, God Himself, came to atone for our sins. By His blood, Jesus established a new covenant with us, a covenant of love, a new relationship with God. Jesus reconciled us to God the Father, sending the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to guide us. The communion later on reminds us of the new covenant we have with Jesus. The Apostle Paul explains to us in the letter to the Ephesians, saying, "For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in His own body, on the cross, He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one people, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death." God comforted Daniel by telling him what the end will be. In the same way, God comforted me by reminding me what the end will be. We are in a better position than Daniel because we are living in the new covenant. God is in control. He is the sovereign Lord. God has Hong Kong in His hands. He has the world in His hands. Broken relationships caused by sins. Not only our relationship with God, but also the relationship between human beings. Today we see the devastation of brokenness among us, and we need to reconcile to God first. Then God will help us to reconcile with one another. The first step to reconciliation is repentance. Accept that we have sinned against God, turned away from Him, and disobeyed Him. Jesus paid the price of our sins by His death on the cross. Jesus rose from the dead, telling us that He won. Jesus will come again to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, which means the vision and prophecy will be fulfilled, and to anoint the most holy place. Daniel trusted God because of his knowledge of God from history, God's word, how He saved His people from Egypt, and his personal experience with God. God saved him from the lion's den and continuous relationship with Him throughout his life, as we just read about his prayer. 2,600 years after, I learn from God's word, knowing who God is. I also experienced personally how God saved me from the verge of committing suicide. I experienced Him throughout my life. The living God lives in me through the death and resurrection of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Daniel's God and my God, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is the God of the universe. He was, is, and is to come. He is a living God wanting to establish a covenant of love with you. Do you believe and accept? This is what the Lord says. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. The covenant of love. Today, are you in it? Let us sing the response hymn together to respond to God's love, because Jesus paid it all for us so that we can be in this covenant of love.